Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary live cynical series, and this is the ebook series when we usually take Father Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and methodically go through it. But today, being May 13th, and I'll explain a little bit later, first, in the month of May of Our Lady, and of course, every month is Our Lady's month, and on day 13, which is May 13th, the feast day of Our Lady of Fatima, and I'll explain a little bit more about that as well later. So I just thought it appropriate on this day to have the opening prayer with a female voice, and we have one. So I'm going to ask Maureen to open us in prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Wasn't that nice? You didn't get the raspy voice of me. Thank you, Maureen, for that. And really touching. You know, when you're able to listen and not vocalize it or verbalize it, I think it's just so much more thorough. At least that's my opinion of it. But today, like we said, is May 13th. Our Lady of Fatima is very important here, not to digress a little bit, but because it's in essence through Our Lady of Fatima that she brought the gift of living the divine will, the concept, the prodigy of it to Mary's Hill. And it occurred on October 13th, 2014. And by the way, it was introduced to Mary's Hill by Maureen's father, Deacon John Thompson. So we're internally grateful for Deacon John for all the work he's put in and continues to put into this gift of living the divine will and for bringing it to Mary's Hill. And again, another time I'll go into detail on how it happened. It's really pretty astonishing. Today is also on a negative note, today is also the anniversary. 5 years ago today, I was in a near-death automobile accident. Mm. And for the grace of God, are here today. But 3 days ago, nurse, I have a question for you or a little statement.
Oh, gosh.
3 days ago, I bent down for something and I felt something awful. So I went to the doctor and I have what's called an extremely strained lower back. Now, do you have any idea? Do you have any idea how that feels?
You know what that is, Peter?
What is it?
It's called OLD.
That's all. Okay.
Yeah, whenever my husband and I complain about something, we say, "Oh, you have OLD."
I bent down for something ridiculous and just felt it. I had X-rays this morning, and just my movement, my mobility is almost zero. When I talk, it hurts.
Oh, the Lord's laying you down low, Peter.
Yeah.
Laying you down.
He did that for 9 months after my accident. So, but again, it looked like the worst thing in the world, but it actually ended up to be a very positive thing. So yeah, we're really, really blessed to be together today. And I'd like to open up with two quotes that I can recall from St. Louis de Montfort regarding our Blessed Lady. The first quote is, quote, "Anyone who does not have Mary as their mother does not have God as their father." End quote. That's powerful. And the second one is, quote, "If it were not for Mary, my soul would have already been damned." End quote. And I can attest to that too. I mean, I'm not being presumptuous that I'm not damned, but she saved my life more than once. So we're going to give honor to her today. So we're going to divert a little bit. We're still doing an ebook, but it's not the ebook we usually do. We're not doing Father Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation. We're actually doing the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, but translated by Father Annuzzi. Because if you recall, the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom and the Hours of the Passion have the Church's imprimatur Neolapstat in its Italian text. There is no English imprimatur Neolapstat. So that's why a lot of times when we recommend people, if you're going to introduce this gift of the divine will to clergy or religious, and you want to do it through the Virgin Mary, the Kingdom, or the Hours of the Passion, you may want to give Father Nuzzi's book, because there's sort of a circumvent around not having the imprimatur in English. The church has a policy, and that's all we'll call it, a policy, that if there's a translation in a language that has the imprimatur and the Nihil Apostat, the church's seals of approval, if it's translated by a bona fide theologian authorized by the Holy See as a theologian, and they trust that theologian as being, or that translation as being accurate, and it can be used in a public setting. Because if you recall, a lot of when you get the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, a lot of copies will say for private use only. But for Father Nuzzi's Hours of the Passion and the Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, it can be used in a cenacle or divine will prayer group setting with others. It doesn't have to be private only. That doesn't mean publish it on the internet, but again, it can be used in a myriad of different ways. And I forgot to unplug the phone today, so sorry about that. So we're going to be using Father's translation. And the beautiful thing about Father's translation also is, just like his dissertation, he once in a while will throw in a footnote, which will give us clarity into what Our Lady was saying and putting into the context of our Holy Catholic Church. So we're going to do that. And day 13 is the Virgin Mary says goodbye to her holy parents and enters the temple, setting an example as she triumphs in her sacrifice. And I think you're going to see also that throughout this entire day 13, and again, we're going to go through it quickly, unfortunately, but if you have time today, please methodically go through it. You're going to see how many examples and directions that our Blessed Lady gives us. You know, here at Mary Seal Week, we call Our Lady the DA, because everything she says, she's either giving us direction or affection. Or affection direction. So she's always doing that. And that's exactly what she does in this day 13. In fact, she does it in all the days, but especially in this day 13. So I'm going to bring this up a bit here. I'm going to, and if I make faces during the cenacle, it's no cause of concern. I'm not criticizing Maureen's reading or reflections. I'm just grimacing to get a position that doesn't hurt. So let me bring this out. I'm not looking for sympathy, but I mean, actually I'm actually learning to say thank you. And that took a while for me to do. Okay, so we can begin here. Maureen, please.
Okay. Day 13, the Virgin Mary says goodbye to her holy parents and enters the temple, setting an example as she triumphs in her sacrifice. The soul to the triumphant Queen, Heavenly Mother, today I come and prostrate myself before you to ask for your invincible strength in all of my pains.
Okay, this is just one sentence, and I felt the need to stop here, because what Louise is asking for, see, she's asking not just for herself, she's asking for all of humanity. And she, when she speaks also, she's speaking, giving us guidance as well, inspired by the Holy Spirit, on what to do. So prostrating ourselves before Our Lady is something we ought to be doing. Well, I can't right now on my back, but we ought to be, and ask for invincible strength in all our pains. And how appropriate is this for me? But we all have pains, spiritual, emotional, and Our Lady is there, like a good mother, there to help her child. And Father has a footnote here. I hope I can bring it up on screen here. And this goes to giving clarity, to ask for your invincible strength, Our Lady's invincible strength, in all of my pains. Maureen, could you read the footnote, please?
Sure. The pains Louisa here refers to were not only physical, but above all, spiritual and interior, which she endured in the late 1920s while she penned this book. Hence the expression, pains of my heart. The pains of her heart included the publications of intimate things that she was reluctant to see published regarding her youth and her conversations with Jesus. Her not being granted obedience to leave this world to be with Jesus in heaven, and her persistent fever. God not granting her permission to grant Hannibal's request that she heal him of his pleurisy.
And there's a lot of volumes in there too, to refer to, again, to further explicate the explication of the footnote. You know, Maureen, I didn't know that that Louisa asked God if she could heal St. Hannibal. I mean, it would make sense. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that. And it was denied. So that's interesting also. And what is pleurisy?
It's where when you take a deep breath, the lung tissue sticks on the outside of the lung encasement, the encasement of the lungs. And so it sticks and it's very painful. Every breath is painful. Every breath.
So it sticks, but it doesn't come back like it should. So you have difficulty breathing?
Yes.
The balloon that doesn't.
It's very painful.
It's terrible. But again, very interesting on why. Again, it's a mystery. Why? And, you know, it's another mystery, too, on, you know, how God gives everybody the opportunity to say yay or nay to the gift of living the divine will. So just to have fun, look what our Lord does. I mean, there's 36 volumes. He takes 19 of them and gives the churches in Imprimatur Neolapsus. In essence, half. The other half, it doesn't have. So again, if you want to believe the church approves this, one half will say, yes, we do. The other half will say, no, not all 36 are done. We're not going to accept it. So again, God is constantly giving us this opportunity to say yes, to really jump with the divine will in faith. And again, we have to go back to scripture. Every time somebody was healed, our blessed Lord would stay and remind them, it's your faith that has healed you. And he also says, well, you know, when I return, will I find faith? And then let's look at really quickly the situation with the critical edition of the volumes. It's basically in a quagmire right now. It's stuck in the mud, so to speak. There's nothing wrong. There's no error. There's no problem other than the church does not know, in layman's terms, the church does not know how to present this in a Catholic aura, because they lack the talent to do so. You have to be thoroughly knowledgeable in Louisa. You have to be fluent in Italian. You have to know the Puglian dialect. You have to know the slang that was used during that time. I mean, you've got to be really well-versed. And so they need a theologian to do that. They need somebody who's very well-versed and knows and understands the gift of living divine will. And they need somebody who's in good standing and approved as a theologian by the church. They haven't been able to find anybody. Can you think of anybody that can do that job? Oh, I can. Father Ainsley. But they haven't asked him. And that's okay. Because as we have this time, I'm trying to look on the bright side, Maureen. Mm-hmm. It's in a quagmire. It's in a stalemate right now. We don't know how long it's going to take. But on the bright side, it gives us an opportunity to go deeper, to grow even more robust in the divine will in faith. Because I have to believe once the church gives its final stamps of approval, and there's no ambiguity about that, some of the faith that we experience right now towards the divine will be converted to obedience. We believe it because the church says we should believe. But right now, we believe it in faith. We know this to be true. We don't have to wait for the Imprimatur Neolapsus, but we do in a certain respect, to be able to publish it and to share with everyone. We can share what we have now. We just can't republish. You can't say the divine will by Mary Sill. That's a no-no. You can't do that. But everything that's on the line is not publishing. We were very clear in making sure that anything online is not considered publishing. It's when you've got the printed book. This is my work, but it's really not my work. So they don't want any more of that. Not because you're doing something wrong, but that's just more that they have to take out of circulation once the critical edition does come out, if that makes any sense. So again, the pains, a myriad of different ways of pains. We found out about being rejected by God to heal St. Hannibal. He had his reasons. She was asking, was she asking also for her own healing? I forgot the fever, right?
The pains of her heart, the fever. Yeah, she has persistent fever. Yeah. Yes.
And the embarrassment of not wanting this published, you know, so she asked God, can you wait till I die or take me first and then publish it? He said, no, I'm going to do it now. So that's interesting. Okay, we can get there.
You know how replete my heart is, to the point of feeling drowned in my pains. If you love as my true mother, take my heart into your hands and pour into it the love, the grace, and the strength, so that I may triumph in my pains and convert them all into the divine will. There you go, Peter, you're back. That's for you.
Well, she's asking for something, but I love the way she frames it. I mean, she frames it almost, I don't want to use the word sarcastically, but like, if you love as my true mother, then you'll take my heart. Basically, she said, then you'll take my heart into your hands. If you really love me, you'll do this. I love that. That's very, mm-hmm. that takes a lot of confidence. You really have to have a really good relationship with someone to speak like that. Yeah. Like, Maureen, you either read it, if you're really into the divine, well, you read this, or if you don't read this, then you're not in the divine, you know, something like that.
So, they were very close.
But our mother knows mm-hmm. how that's really affectionate, where it may sound perhaps to someone else as slightly offensive, but it's affectionate. But she wants everything that Our Lady has and possesses. She wants to be able to give that to all of humanity, including us. That's her job. It came from the source, our Blessed Lord, to the distributor, our Blessed Lady, to the firstborn of original sin, Louisa, and to us. And then it also goes on to say that, we can't forget this, in volume 12, January 24th, 1921, Jesus states, quote, "So shall the third fiat be. It shall germinate and start within you, Louisa. The ear of grain shall be formed. Only the priest shall have knowledge of it." Now, this has already happened. She gave it to St. Hannibal. And St. Hannibal's, Jesus on record saying St. Hannibal's the first apostle of the divine will. So first, the priest shall have knowledge of it. Then a few souls. It doesn't say then a few more priests. It's going to be more priests. But first, the priest shall have knowledge of it. That's already happened. Then a few souls. That could be us. And then it shall spread. It shall spread and shall follow the same path as creation and redemption. I remember also, Uncle, that, you know, living the divine will has many different stages, you know, zillions of stages. But there's some main categories. You know, we can be living it perfectly, imperfectly, slightly imperfectly, excuse me, less imperfectly, you know, barely living in it. So there are different, our job is to get our foot. It's like if God's divine will is a mansion, our job is to get ourselves in the foyer. It doesn't matter how we get in, what window we go in, what door we get in, get into the foyer. Yeah, there's nothing in a foyer, but it gives us access to all the other rooms. So that's what we want to ask for. And Louisa did so here. If you are my true mother, then take my heart into your hands and pour it into the love, the grace, and the strength, so I may triumph over my pains and convert them all to the divine will. And Maureen just read the pains that she was experiencing. So I think that's beautiful. So let's see what our Blessed Lady comes back with to Louisa, feisty Louisa.
Lesson of the triumphant queen. My child, have courage. Do not fear. Your mother is here at your complete disposal. Today, I was waiting for you so that my heroism and my triumph in sacrifice might infuse in you strength and courage, so that I might see my child triumphant in her pains, with the heroism of bearing them with love to do the divine will.
So very gently, very affectionately, our Blessed Lady here, the way I interpret it is, don't fear. In other words, Louisa, relax. I'm going to do this, but I need you to focus. I need you to be attentive. Stop worrying about all this stuff and trust in me. And then also she, you know, by doing all that, you know, it's very consistent with God when it comes to the divine will. He waits for us. He waits for an initiation, and not initiation into like an organization, but to initiate something, to take the first step in essence. He waits for us to take that first step. And then he can say, mm-hmm. okay, you want it. You're gravitating toward me. It's like in a race and you're at the start of the race, you got the start line. And all he's asking us to do is take that first step out of the block and he'll run the race for us. Yeah, he'll have us on his back, but he wants us to begin. And that's how we show our affection. That's how we show our love. That's how we show our trust. That's how we show our desire, our ardent desire. Because if we don't want it, God's not going to give it to us because he knows it's not going to be treasure. Wherever your treasure is, there will be your heart. So I thought that was just very, it's beautiful. It was articulated beautifully, of course, no surprise, by our Blessed Mother in a very docile way, but very poignant with what she was trying to explain to Louisa.
Now, my child, listen closely to what your tender mother wishes to tell you. I had just turned 3 years old when my parents let me know that they wanted to consecrate me to the Lord in the temple. My heart rejoiced in hearing that I was to consecrate myself and spend my years in the house of God. But beneath my joy, there was the sorrow of being deprived of my parents, the dearest persons one can have on earth.
What a great example, Maureen, of our Blessed Lady show at 3 years old. Think about that. Three years old. I can't even remember when I'm three. 3 years old, she had that courage, that knowledge, that infused knowledge to know that she has to give up even holy things. Her parents are holy. Staying with your mother and father is a holy act. That's the nuclear family. That's what most children at 3 years old do. But there was a calling here. And Our Lady knew what the calling was. You know, that was also, I don't have the book in front of me right now. In the green book, Maureen, if you have it.
Yeah,
and
I do.
On Virgin Mary in the Kingdom, day 11. Mm-hmm. Do you see where it says, it talks about how she was infused at birth with reason and knowledge? Just see if you can read that. I think that's very important.
Continue on as I look for it, because it might be taking me a while.
Okay, I think it's in the beginning.
The beginning?
Relatively in the beginning. Yeah, it says something like, at birth, I was, the Holy Father, I'm not the Holy Father. God the Father infused me with reason and knowledge. Well, the reason why I'm saying that is, so she had reason, she had knowledge. And then a question that I had was, okay, wait a minute. If she had reason and knowledge, I'm assuming she knows everything. Then why did she have to question Angel Gabriel? Well, how can this be? Shouldn't she have known that already? And I had a great conversation with Father Anuzzi. And he explained she was given reason. She was given knowledge, but she wasn't given everything. Just like Adam wasn't given everything. And I was listening to Father talk. And of course, he's talking, three quarters of the way he's talking above me, but it comes down a couple times. And I asked him, okay, Father, can I put into it like a picture? Because I'm very visual. I maybe have ADHD. Can I visualize it and let me know if this is accurate? And he says, okay. So when I did, and he said, yeah, that's pretty good. So what I'm thinking about is, think about God is a dam. You know, the dam that holds back water. He's got all this grace in the form of water. He's got this dam. Then he recognized that he wants to do something. He wants to create a lake. So he creates a lake. But the lake is barren. Now, the boats start to come. So there's a rowboat first, okay? The first action in the order of what God wants to do. He's bringing a rowboat. So he lets the dam out and he fills it. Excuse me. Let's say he fills it to 4 feet of water. It's enough for the rowboat to get by. Everyone's happy. Now comes a speedboat. And now that needs and requires a little deeper water because the engine goes down, the propeller goes down deeper. So now God has to let the dam open a bit and give more water. So now it goes to about 12 feet of water. And now it's adequate for the time and for the vehicle that's using the water. This continues to progress. Same with our Lord. He gives us enough for the moment and then gives us the additional grace. Even Father Nees even went so far as to explain about the wedding of Cana when our Blessed Lady said, come on, come on, son, you can do this. And at that time, he said, Jesus didn't know that was going to be the beginning of his ministry. But at the moment that was asked, he was given the grace, the knowledge to know that, this is the time. And so he graciously accepted it. So God gives, waits for us to use, and then based on the circumstances, we'll give more to, I won't say combat, but to accommodate whatever situation we're in or whatever growth spurt we happen to be in, if that makes any sense. So Our Lady was endowed with reason and knowledge, but not everything. Why? Because again, you've got divine knowledge being funneled into humanity, and humanity's knowledge, the capability is not there. And God knows he has to give a little bit, wait till it expands until it's going to burst. And then of course, move it out a bit and make more capacity to receive more. But again, that's a process. And that's our humanity. That's what happened. It was a beautiful explanation. I'm probably destroying it. So perhaps we'll pose that question to Father Anuzzi on Sunday and let him articulate it and correct me where I was wrong there. But that's pretty accurate as to what we discussed. So,
Peter, I have that there if you want me to read it.
Could you please?
Yeah. Sure. Day 11, Our Lady says, quote, "My cradle was surrounded by angels who vied in singing lullabies to me, their sovereign queen. And since I was endowed with reason and knowledge, which had been infused in me at my immaculate conception by my Creator, I fulfilled my first obligation of adoring the most holy and adorable Trinity with my intelligence and with my stammering childish voice. And my love for such a holy majesty was so ardent and great that, languishing, I felt overwhelmed with the desire of being in the arms of the divinity. I desired to receive the embraces of the three divine persons and exchange them with my own embraces."
So see how God gave enough water and fertilizer to start the growth in the seed, just enough to get it out of the soil and starting to sprout out. Then as it sprout out, then we're going to need other things. We're going to need other equipment, so to speak. And that's why God's going to let the dam open a little bit more, because he's the one that's the provider of grace and graces. He's going to fill that lake to the level it has to be filled based on the type of boat we're putting in. So the type of job we're going to be accepting on behalf of our Blessed Lord, our Blessed Lady, he will equip us with the means to do so. So again, that's why there's no fear. When we may not possess it now, but at the time we need mm-hmm. it, God is actually saying, "I guarantee you're going to get it."
Yeah.
So no worries.
A friend of mine used to say, "You're in a dark room and you want the whole room to be lit up." And God says, "No, I'm going to give you enough light to take one step at a time."
Right. And that's our work. He says that, I think, in volume 36, our work is to unveil everything that God's humanity did, to find out why he did it and what he did it for. And that's really the divine will. The Book of Heaven explicates everything that God did before, after, and during his humanity, and opening up the doors of that explication. And again, the church is poised to receive this. I mean, we talk about this, you know, almost ad nauseum. Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to come to better understand what has already been given. You know, like Father Nuzzi says, that flower. Now, if we use a magnifying glass, which I don't have either. I used to have it. If we put a magnifying glass on a flower, we can see so much more. It was always there, but we just couldn't see it. The divine will is that magnifying glass on everything that God has given us. So it's so beautiful. So it's new, but yet it's old. And it's old, but yet it's new. It's beautiful. Okay.
"I was little and I needed their paternal care, but I deprived myself of the presence of two great saints."
Again, trust. I was little. I needed paternal. What 3-year-old doesn't need care?
Yeah.
But again, she gave up holy things, a very holy thing, a very dear thing to her. She gave it up. Huge sacrifice. So we've got trust. We've got hope. We've got love. We've got sacrifice. I mean, she goes through the entire gamut of virtues in this one day. And she usually does that almost in every day. You can see a bit of every virtue that we need to possess and to maximize in this journey, because that until we maximize our virtues, until we top them out, so to speak, the perpetual divine will can never be given to us. We have to keep working at it. It's all about virtues. Okay.
"Also, I saw that as the day approached in which they were to deprive themselves of me, who filled their life with joy and happiness."
Okay, here we go. With that infused knowledge, they knew at the time what was transpiring. Not everything, but they knew. They knew what had to be done. "I saw that as the day approached in which they were to deprive themselves of me, who filled their life with joy and happiness." And then you're going to see what they experienced.
"They experienced such heartbreak that they felt as if they would die."
Again, giving up holy things, sacrifice, trust, hope, love, confidence.
But their enduring this sorrow disposed them to make the heroic act of taking me to the Lord."
So they gave something, God gave back something great. I mean, that's not why we give to get back, but that's the way God works. We give a little bit. Again, take that first step. And then God runs the race. No, I don't want to run the race. No. Okay. You stay at the start line. Just take the first step. And that's what happened in each and every one of our lives too, probably with the divine will. First time we opened up the book of heaven or the Virgin Mary and the Kingdom of God, anything that, you know, has to do with the divine will. First time we did it, you may not have recognized the difference immediately, but I'm sure we did fairly quickly. And again, as we started to get that grace of our effort, we get the double grace of a slight understanding. And with that understanding comes a greater grace of more desire. So what does that do? It brings us back into the volumes, whether it be audio or text or meditating or contemplating. It's just a journey. We start it and God just picks us up and no worries. You don't need any gas in the car. Just start the engine and God will take us anywhere we want to go. So beautiful. Okay, let me just scroll up here.
My parents love me in the divine order.
Okay. The divine order is God's plan. The natural order, of course, what happens when we either accommodate God's plan or we don't accommodate God's plan. If you recognize the divine order, a couple of readings ago, a few months ago, I don't know if you remember when the woman tugged on Jesus and said, can you help me? My daughter's hemorrhaging. I think it was something like that. And our blessed Lord said, no, I've got to go to my children. I've got to feed my children first. And meaning that he had to go to the apostles. That was the order, it was the apostles, and they were going to disseminate down. But then I think the woman said something like, well, but even the dogs, Lord, eat the scraps from the master's table. And our Lord was so enamored by what she said that he obeyed her. He granted her the wish. So we have a divine order, but it's God's order. So God wants to go out of order slightly. He can, and he will. But God has an order. God has a plan. And his plan's going to work. It's, you know, with our free will, he gives us editing capability, so to speak. But if we have a perfect book, any edits we make are going to ruin it. They're going to degrade it. So we ought to keep our hands off it. We have the editing capability, but don't edit what's perfect. We have the human will, but we have a divine will that's perfect. So we elect, use our human will to defer to the divine will. We still keep our human will. We exercised it. We don't give it away. Without it, we can't exercise it. St. Augustine says it's the greatest gift we have to be able to exercise our human will, to focus on God voluntarily, not forcibly. That's incredible. And we're here. We're here voluntarily. No one forced us here. No one forced us to the divine will. I'm sure if they tried to, we would have run away. Okay.
Peter, I have the footnote here. It says,
please.
Whenever Mary refers to the divine order, she is referring to the love of God and the love of neighbor in that order.
Yeah. The author of the book, God, love God above all. And why? Because if we love God above all, we can love our neighbor with the love of God. If we love our neighbor first, it's going to be a human love, which is limited, fractured, inconsistent. If we just take a step back from everything we've learned and just reevaluate it, because of the grace and grace that have been given to us. Again, these are mystical gifts. What we've received, and again, we're not special in a way that we're better than anyone. We're not. But God has given us mystical gifts. He's given at least one to us. We've seen the light under the door in a dark house that no one else can see, or very few can see. And now he's waiting. Are you going to explore and open that door and find out where the light's coming from? Or are you going to walk past it? He's given us a mystical gift, probably several. And he will continue as long as we're using them. Remember, mystical gifts are not given equally like our baptismal gifts are. In fact, mystical gifts are given by God when he wants to give it, to whom he wants to give it, to what degree he wants to give it. And that's articulated in St. John of the Cross, stanza 2, I think. And it's actually in the Articles of the Vatican II about mystical gifts. Very important. We've received them. And these are gifts way different than holy gifts. These are mystical. Mysticism is in each and every one of us. And I think it was, I forget his name. There was a 17th century French philosopher, Bergeron, I think his name is. And he said, it's the role of the mystic's words to enliven and awaken the mysticism that's in each and every one of us. Mm-hmm. Because it's in us. It was in Adam.
Yep.
It's just dormant. It's been paused. It's been shut off. But it can be reactivated through this gift. Now I know why some people can't comprehend it, because you got to be a little crazy. I mean, think about what we're saying. I mean, this is it almost sounds outlandish, but is this impossible for God? I mean, we're here. Did we ask to be born? I'm speaking right now. Am I saying heartbeat or lungs breathe or blood flow? Am I doing anything to make that happen? No. So how can this be so impossible if I can be sitting here and you can be sitting there and we can all be sitting together? God can do anything he wants. We have to believe that. We can't believe in just ourselves, but we can, because we cannot do much. In fact, Father Nuzzi will say, God is amused by our inability to do anything very well. And that's true. We always seem to mess things up a bit, eventually.
And it's like watching a little toddler. It's like, oh, aren't they cute? Look, they can't do anything. They need me.
Yeah. And then they grow up.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. I'll start at the beginning. My parents loved me in the divine order and considered me a great gift given to them by the Lord. This gave them the strength to accomplish their sorrowful sacrifice. So, my child, if you wish to acquire heroic strength to accomplish the most arduous sacrifices, be sure to do everything in the divine order and consider them precious gifts given to you by God.
So simple, but yet so complicated. If think about this for a moment. If we consider everything a gift, how different will our viewpoint of that be? For example, we wake up in the morning. Let's say we've got to go to work early. Or we've got a difficult task to do. Or we've got something unpleasant that we have to do. But we woke up. How many people didn't awaken this morning for whatever reason? God, in essence, took us out of a death. I mean, when we're sleeping, it's like being dead, almost. And then we awaken. Divine will, again, beating our heart, flowing our blood, waking us up, giving us opportunity. So whatever happens in the course of the day, if we look at it from the perspective of, I woke up today, how can it be a bad day? I mean, granted, some days are going to be better than others, but how can it be a bad day? It can't. It gives us an opportunity to grow spiritually. We've grown already physically overnight, right, nurse? Done ourselves, replenish themselves.
Rejuvenate,
thank you. So we're growing physically overnight, and we could be growing spiritually as well. You know, I think Father Celso says this, when we lay ourselves to bed after we do an act of contrition in bed, just ask Jesus to do whatever he wants with us. Fuse ourselves, just in a very informal way. You can do an act of fusing, and just say, take me, enlighten me, whatever you want me to do. And you'll be really surprised. Some mornings you're going to wake up and what either you've been contemplating about or meditating on or something that maybe didn't click totally, all of a sudden is going to make a little more sense. It's going to be a little clearer. This happens almost every day. But again, we have to recognize waking up as a gift, and then God, I think, will give us the enlightenment to understand, well, we have the gift of awakening. Now, what other gifts has he given us for today? Remember that passage I read last night? I think I get it now. Let me go back. I'll read it again. And it's like reading it all over again, brand new. This is a mystical experience that we cannot explain in human terms. But God is doing it. He promises to do it. He is doing it, and he will do it. And really, that's all we have to worry about, or not worry about. So beautiful. Okay.
Now, courageously, I prepared myself for my departure for the temple, because I gave not only myself to the divine being, but also my own will, whereby the supreme fiat took possession of my entire being, I acquired all the virtues naturally.
Okay, our Blessed Mother got them naturally. We developed them over the course of time. And this is something that changed my life also. When we learned about, Jesus explained to us that to exercise a virtue, we need opportunities in our life. We can't just, it's not like we're exercising, we're lifting weights. So what I mean is leaving Mass and we're exiting the parking lot and somebody just doesn't even look and makes a left turn and cuts us off and almost hits our car. That's an opportunity. Thank you, Lord, that I didn't get hit. May you be with that person. Perhaps they're thinking of something else. They've got something on their mind instead of doing a few other things that we could do. So every time somebody's there to annoy us or ridicule us or humiliate us, whether it be intentionally or unintentionally, it's all opportunity. When we're carrying something and we're so perfect and we drop it, no, we dropped it. I'll try to be more focused next time. All opportunity, everything we experience. So that's why that day that we had when we awaken, no matter how, from the world's perspective, how bad it may be, how good it can be, if we allow our virtues to exercise through them. So that's something that I fall into the category fiat always. And that was something I couldn't get when Father Celso said, fiat always in everything. Yes. Yes, in everything. Because God promises that if something His permissible will allows to happen, which maybe at the time does not seem very good, He promises to make a greater good of it. My accident was one example. I had 8 months to lie on my back and read and think and give thanksgiving.
What a witness, Peter. That's great.
And if I hadn't gotten into the accident, I probably would still have my job right now and I'd be out of the country 3 out of 4 weeks a month. So you'd be spared my raspy voice on the sound of my. But what I'm saying is it seemed terrible at the time, but I look back now as one of the greatest things that ever happened to me. And I'm sure we all have stories much greater than that. I'm just giving an example. On today, the 5th anniversary. I just thought of it today. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I exercised dominion over myself, and all virtues were in me like many noble princesses, which, according to the circumstances of my life, promptly emerged to fulfill their office without any resistance.
This is also when it says circumstances. Reminds me of the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom. I think it's day 16, when our Blessed Lady repeats what our Blessed Lord says about giving up even holy things. But she gives a caveat. She says, but always according to the circumstances. End quote. So I can't think of any real examples off the top of my head. But for example, if there's someone or some group that's relying on you, if you're the only one that can provide some source to them of something that they need, and it was one of those holy things you were going to give up for greater good, again, based on the circumstances, the greater good may be that you stay exactly in place, if that makes any sense. So she says, she gives that caveat, you know, our Lord says, you know, give up holy things for the divine will. He gives, you know, a stern level, and our Mother comes in gently, yes, do that, but always according to the circumstances, because the greater good could actually be in what you're doing. And if you stop doing what you're doing, then perhaps, I mean, like, for example, let's say a priest, for example, a priest is in the rectory and it's 8 o'clock at night and he has a meeting with the youth group. It's a big meeting. It's been planned for months. And the parents are in attendance, and all of a sudden somebody knocks at the door, says, Father, can you hear my confession? I'm very ill. I may not live very much longer. So he decides, okay, I can't make it to that youth group. Even though it's been advertised for 6 months, there's hundreds of people out there. I have to hear this confession. He gave up holy things. wasn't easy. Now he's got to explain to all the people out there, and some are going to understand, some aren't going to understand probably. That's just a little example. So the greatest thing that that father could have done then was to not give up holy things, not to say no to that person at the door because something else was planned. Again, not the perfect example, but it's the only one I can think of off the top of my head, a little bit of pain. Okay.
Had I not possessed the virtue of being queen of my own human nature, in vain would others call me queen. I had in my dominion perfect charity, invincible patience, rapturing, sorry, I have two dogs here fighting,
okay.
I'm so sorry, enrapturing sweetness, profound humility, and the whole dowry of all the other virtues. The divine will rendered the little earth of my human nature fortunate, always flowery, and without the thorns of vices. Do you see then, dear child, what it means to live in the divine will?
And anything that's happening that may not be as the world considers it good or fortunate, whatever it is, it's fortunate for us because that's what God has allowed at that time. Now, did God want me to get into an accident? No. Did he allow it? It was raining out. Maybe I took a car that wasn't mine and maybe I was going a little too fast. I don't think I was, but I could have been. Who knows? And I had your plan. God allowed that to happen. He allows things to happen. So that's how we can really, really say fiat always and really mean it, not just say it. It's hard for me to understand. Flowery. Our life becomes flowery. I think most people's lives today are not even close to flowery. There's a lot of things that are crazy. The diabolical disorientation is running rampant. I mean, good will be bad and bad will be good. And good people will do bad things thinking they're doing good. I mean, this is exactly what's happening. It's exactly what Our Lady said in Fatima. It's exactly what's happening today. But no worry, all this has to happen. Because if you buy a piece of property with a dilapidated house and you want to build a new house, you can't build it over the dilapidated house. You've got to take the old house down, right down to the foundation. And that's what's happening right now. God has to clean house, in essence, the whole house, and rebuild. But the foundation is there, and that's our Catholic faith. St. Cyril of Jerusalem, I think his feast day was last month or so. He said, gosh, I'm going to mess this up. He says, depart from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but do not leave the church. Something like that. So stay in the church. Mm-hmm. But people that are talking illy of the Pope, I'm not talking about disagreeing. I'm talking about, you know, calling him the Antichrist or, you know, something, you know, really, really bad that's actually aiding and abetting the enemy. You may have to start distancing yourself from that. You know, that's not the kind of dialogue you want to be engaging in. So, yeah, we have to start making some decisions. I think as times get more difficult, we may have to really reevaluate who our friends are, who will be there to help. And who might be there just to help themselves? Because that may be a dangerous situation. Again, I'm not that anyone should get worried, but I'm just saying we may be forced to make these decisions down the road. We don't know. We pray not. Okay.
Okay. Its light, sanctity, and power convert one's nature into all the virtues. The divine will does not lower itself to reign in a soul whose nature is rebellious. Not at all. It is sanctity, and it wants the nature in whom it is to reign, to be ordered and holy.
Yeah, in volume 36, again, I don't have the passage in front of me, but Jesus explains to us that the divine will has two opposite effects. For those who are disposed, whether it be God's mystical gift or our gaining in knowledge, as happened to dispose us through grace, to those who are disposed, it's life, light, and love. And to those who are not disposed, it's not being able to understand, actually wanting to go against it. And basically it's being pleasant and being miserable. That's the difference. That's what the divine will can. I mean, I've had conversations with people. Of course, most of them are, you know, the divine will, they love the divine will. So it's a beautiful conversation. But I've had some people that I can't even repeat some of the stuff they said on air. When I just tried to introduce them to the divine, don't you ever send me this and all these expletives. I'm saying, wait a minute, what's going on? So we understand the magnitude of the power of this divine will based on the response we get from those who are disposed and those who are not disposed, those who are, want to be happy and those who don't want to be happy. I think we're going to be called to make some decisions, perhaps, is a kind way of saying it. Okay.
Therefore, I acquired many triumphs by my sacrifice of going to the temple, and on account of this sacrifice, the triumph of the divine will was formed in me.
Okay. Just for the sake of time, again, sacrifice. Take the first step. We give, and we get back more than we gave. Then we give back again, and we're given more. Again, this is reciprocal. The divine will, in essence, is the reciprocal of love. But it's an opportunity to give the greatest degree of love because it's God's love. And we can't generate that. But we can accept that when he gives it to us. So he gives us his love and we give it back to him. Then he gives us his love, we give it back to him. There's reciprocity. But on a level unachievable by humans, by themselves. So God's really, he's really elevating us. He's taking us to the penthouse. And again, we have to decide, do we like it up here or not? I think we love it. Okay.
These triumphs infused in me new seas of grace, sanctity, and light, to the extent that I experienced joy in my sorrows and was able to acquire yet more triumphs.
Same thing. Receive, apply, receive more. I experienced joy in my sorrows. This is just the many quizzes that were given constantly every day in order to prepare us for the test. You know, God has to test us. Everything has to be tested. Our Lady was tested. Adam was tested. We're going to be tested. And through the grace of God, the sanctity and the light that we will receive from God through those mystical gifts, if we take that first step, we're going to be able to triumph over those. We're going to be able to give our fiat and mean it, not just verbalize it. He gives us all the opportunity. In fact, he's giving us the answers to the questions. It's not just a quiz. He's giving us the answers to the questions that are going to be on the test. If we're attentive, we're going to see that. It's all here. It really is. I hope I see it someday. Okay.
Now, my child.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, Maureen. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I put an asterisk here. This is probably one of the most important paragraphs you're going to read in this day. And this is something we may want to repeat. I'm sorry for cutting you off.
No, that's true. I mean, I was going to say something too. This is a great paragraph. Now, my child, place your hand upon your heart and tell your mother, do you feel your nature changed into virtue? Or do you feel the thorns of impatience, the noxious herbs of agitation, the bad humors of unholy affections? Listen closely and allow your mother to act. Put your will in my hands. Be firm in deciding not to look at it anymore, and I will make the divine will possess you. It will banish all evils from you, and what you have not accomplished in many years, you will do in one day, a day which will mark the beginning of true life, true happiness, true sanctity. The soul, Holy Mother, assist me, your child, by paying my soul a visit. With your maternal hands, uproot from me everything you find in me that opposes God's will. Burn away the thorns and noxious herbs, and may you yourself call upon the divine will to reign in my soul.
I like that. Uproot me from everything. In other words, transplant us from this land of exile and plant us back in your paternal garden. That's who we are. We're beautiful flowers to our Lord. We have to look at each other as really beautiful flowers because we are.
Aspiration, today, to honor me, call me 3 times to visit your soul and give me complete freedom to do with you as I choose.
Now, that's what our Blessed Lady's asking. That's not so difficult, I don't believe. So I'm going to do that right after the cenacle, and perhaps we all can. That shouldn't take us more than 40 seconds or so. Mm-hmm. And Our Lady's asking for that. Okay. Thanks.
Exclamation. Sovereign Queen, take my soul into your hands and transform it completely into the will of God.
That's another beautiful holy petition. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to keep verbalizing. Sometimes something just as simple as that to our Blessed Lady. Sovereign Queen, take my soul into your hands and transform it completely into the will of God. I think the delineation is if we really truly mean that, intend that, then sometimes that's all that's needed. There's no other words that are necessary if that's truly our intention, because Our Lady knows what we want. Our Lord knows what we want before we even want it or don't want it. Again, we can pretend to our spouses, to our friends, to our coworkers, but we can't pretend to our Lord. He knows exactly how we feel or don't feel. Thanks be to God for everything. Thank you, Maureen. Just a quick update. Tomorrow we've got a whole day, live Divine Will Day of Recollection with Reverend Father B. Thomas Celso, Luis and the Prime Act of God, Part 2. The material's been sent out a couple times this week. I'll send it out once more again tonight after this cenacle is completed. And begins at 8 o'clock in the morning with Adoration, Holy Rosary. And the first talk is 9 o'clock. Father gives 5 45-minute talks throughout the day. And on the 15-minute break, we will go to Poland for a perpetual Eucharistic Adoration. So that's tomorrow from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Same connectivity as you connected to this cenacle. Same meeting ID, same password, same everything. And then on Sunday, we have Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi. So save your questions. If you want to submit your questions, you can submit questions up until 6 p.m. tomorrow for Father. We'll send them off to him, especially if it's a question that has a verse or a volume number, so he can, you know, look at it and not have to have downtime. So that's that begins 1:30 with the Holy Rosary and the Adoration. And 2:15, Father will join us until 3:30. Then last but not least, thanks to Maureen's connection, the Divine Will has moved into a different space now. We have there's a program that's on by a lovely gentleman by the name of Ken Johnson. And the program, ironically, is named What the World Needs Now. It's been running for 6 years. And they've been having great guests from different holy organizations, Ignatius Press and different pro-life organizations. And what Maureen introduced Ken to the Divine Will, and he's on fire. And he's decided now, he has a weekly program. He's decided to take one of the weeks, it'll be the last week in Wednesday, and make it a Divine Will program. So you've got a program titled What the World Needs Now, and the program is the Divine Will. You can't make this stuff up. So our opening debut program, I guess, so to speak, will be with Father Joseph, and that'll be on May 25th from 5 to 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thanks to Maureen for that connection. She was the conduit for Ken. Lovely man. We'll have him on here too sometime. Mm-hmm. So that's it. So hopefully we see you tomorrow for Father Celso. And if you can't make it, hopefully if I press the right buttons, everything will be recorded and uploaded to the website. Hopefully by tomorrow evening. Again, thanks be to God for everything. Oh, Maureen, and thank you, Maureen. Right, I want to end on one thing here. I know we're past time again. Sorry, but I'll try to make it in 2 minutes. You know, we're seeing the Divine Will in everything. And this is a woman, Margarita Parete. And she wrote a book called The Mirror of Simple Souls. Actually, it was on the Index of Forbidden Books. Actually, they didn't like this book so much that they actually burned her at the stake. This was like in 1310 or something like that. Yeah. She wasn't religious. She wasn't lay. She was Beguine, I think they called it, sort of like someone that's halfway between lay and religious. But she was a group of women, and again, women in the 1300s when they had a voice about the church, you know, weren't listened to properly. But like I said, they didn't like what they heard in 1300. You know, the church makes mistakes. This is what she had to say in this book, The Mirror of Simple Souls. Quote, "Now has divine light delivered me from captivity and joined me by gentility, to the divine will of love. There where the Trinity gives me the delight of his love. This gift no human understands as long as he serves any virtue whatsoever or any feeling from nature through practice of reason." End quote. She had a glimpse of the divine will. for sure. There's a lot more passages in that book. Again, I'm not advocating read that book and not the Book of Heaven, but it's just very interesting to see how we see the image of the divine will in everything. I would have never recognized this if it wasn't for the divine will. You know, and unfortunately, she was put to death. Martyrdom comes in red and white. We may be called to be red martyrs like she was, or maybe white martyrs, you know, through the chastisements that will happen. But, what happened then and what happens now, sometimes we just have to say what our Lord said, forgive them, Lord. They know not what they do. And sometimes we don't know what we do. So it's all blessing, all grace, all love. Hopefully you see everyone tomorrow at 8 a.m. for the rosary and adoration. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Peter, for all you do.
No, I don't do anything. Bye, everyone. Love everyone. If I can shut down the meeting. Okay, there we go.